I had to get the mask off. It's kind of a nightmare, aren't they? And my coat. I want to thank our brother, Reverend Dean, for inviting me tonight and for the oversight. It's a great joy to be here. And it's a great joy to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Saviour. I want to say at the very outset tonight, I just mentioned before I came in through the door when we came out of the prayer meeting, I thank God tonight that someone prayed for me. And that's the most precious thing that you can do as a Christian. In fact, I remember a brother saying one night, the worst thing that a Christian can do is nothing. But we can pray. And I thank God tonight, just like you sitting in the pew, someone prayed for you. And I trust and pray tonight that the believer will be richly blessed, not so much by the testimony, but by the precious word of the living God. And I trust and pray tonight, if it should be one of the meeting, that those not Christ as your Saviour, I trust and pray tonight this book, the precious living word of God, I pray the Holy Spirit will take it tonight and convict you of your sin and draw you from darkness into light and from the power of Satan unto Almighty God. I also relate that tonight to those who are very welcome on the internet tonight. May this testimony tonight not be about me, ultimately, but about him who loved me and gave himself for me at the place called Calvary. Where do I begin? Well, I begin in the Word of God tonight. Because I want to make it clear tonight, Andy Copeland was not born a thief, a robber, an alcoholic, a drug addict, or a murderer, or a paramilitary. Psalm 51, verse 5 says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And friends, tonight, especially the ladies in our congregation, and the husbands as well, the remarkable thing I've pondered in this, the first thing will happen when the child comes out of the mother's womb is that the child will cry. And there will be joy and ecstasy at that moment in time of a mother who gave birth and a father who was part of it. Both sets of grandparents are thrilled. I want to paint the picture tonight because the Word of God tells me tonight, man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. Job chapter 5, verse 7. A man born of a woman, yet a few days, the Bible said he's full of trouble. Psalm 58, verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they're born. Tonight you will see from this testimony in God's precious word, I was everything before I was a believer, what the Word of God says that I was. And I was a troubled young man, and I bought trouble. Sin can bring sorrow, shame, suffering, and separation to an individual, to a family, and ultimately can bring separation from Almighty God. I was a troubled young man from no age. I was brought up in a household in East Belfast where my mother had four boys and four girls. I did not come from a church-going background family at all. My mum and dad would have been, if you like, social drinkers. My father would have liked a little gamble in the bookmaker shop. So did one of my older brothers. How true the Word of God is tonight in Proverbs 1, verse 8. My son, despise not the instruction of your father, nor the law of your mother. In many households, yes, there's discipline, there's rules, there's regulations, but I totally ignored them all. Even as a young boy at 7 years of age, we have an older brother who was a compulsive gambler and who led me and influenced me to take up gambling as a young boy. I hated school with all my heart. I had nothing whatsoever to do with discipline in any shape or form. Whether it came from the school classroom, whether it came from my parents' house, I rebelled against society, against my parents and against God himself. My teenage years was to continue in sin and to satisfy my crave for gambling. as well. I got involved with young men who were slightly older than me, who were on the fringes of paramilitary organizations. I also, to satisfy my career for gambling, I said in my shame tonight, I stole from my mother's purse and my father's wallet and anybody else I deemed to be vulnerable. I fought for a cause which I realize now, like Paul the Great Apostle, I did in ignorance and in unbelief. Who wants to be called the Yellowbelly? So I followed the leader, if you like, in those particular days. And I don't need to tell you tonight, sitting in this meeting, and I thank God tonight, if God was to categorize our sin, or categorize my sin, I would be in a Christless hell tonight and a lost eternity. To the glory of God tonight, the psalmist said this in Psalm 130, verse 3, if thou should mark sin, who could stand? But there is forgiveness to thee that thou mayest be feared. Thank God tonight that God marked my sin in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God tonight that the psalmist also says in 103, verse 10, he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. But gloriously he says further down, for as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. And as far as east is from the west, so far as you removed our transgressions from us. Yes, I went from primary school to secondary school. I didn't work in any shape or form. I was what they call in East Belfast a layabout, a corner boy. We would have stood at the street corner playing music and just carrying on, if you like. And I wasn't a fan of the police in any shape or form. In fact, I probably tortured the police, and the police tortured me. I was a man who just simply was a selfish young man. So like I said, I was a very compulsive gambler from I was no age. I stood in a bookmaker's shop just to for the adrenaline, even if I had no money, just to stand watching the horse racing. Sad to say, from maybe 12 o'clock in the day to 5 o'clock at night, my mother and father couldn't send me to the shop for a message. I spent the very lunch money they would give me to go and buy shopping. I spent their dinner money. My first job, when I got a job at 16 years of age, I couldn't walk past the bookmaker's shop. I lost every penny in the bookmaker's shop. And you know, on one Saturday, all those years ago, I came out of the bookmaker's shop in East Belfast and I encountered a young lady. It's quite amazing, as an unsaved man, there was people I respected who I deemed to be true Christians, if you like. You will know the old saying, folks, tonight, good living for a living. You know how true the word of God is tonight, that we need to be lights that shine for Christ. Brother mentioned it tonight in the meeting, salt cellar for Christ and influence for good, living epistles. And how far short we fall of that. But I seen something in this young lady that I'd known for many, many years. And how true the word of God is in Proverbs tonight. A merry heart maketh for a good countenance. I could see in hindsight Jesus in this young lady. Walked across the road. She was walking around the road. And she said to me, Andy, how are you doing? I says, I'm doing okay. Little did you know, I'd lost a fortune. And I can remember saying to her, all because I'd heard things on the grapevine locally about lives being changed in a particular church. You will now know it as Metropolitan Tabernacle, which is on the motorway. And I remember saying to me, Andy, I'll go to church with you anytime. Now, I didn't know the significance of that. I will say this, brethren, tonight in the meeting. Please listen to this story. There is no accidents with God, just appointments. I didn't know the significance of that. I'll go to church with you any time. We had a conversation. We stopped outside a local drinking den. She was going her way, I went my way, into the pub. Came out of the pub that evening. I was walking up the Woodstock Road where I live in East Belfast, where I live, sorry. And there was a police cordon at the corner of my street. And I was approached by a police officer, asked my name and address. Told him my name and address. He put his hand on my shoulder. He said to me, you're under arrest under Section 11 of the Prevention of Terrorism Act. And I was acting silly. What for? We have found firearms in your home. I was arrested along with my father and my three brothers. and taken the Castlereagh Holding Centre in East Belfast under a 7-day order. But I was in an awful dilemma, folks, after 2 days. My dilemma was this. It was just what I was thinking. If I don't confess that these weapons belong to me, is there a possibility my father, being the householder, would be arrested and charged? And I wouldn't let that happen, as hard as I was. So I confessed that the weapons belonged to me. My father and my 3 brothers were discharged. I was officially charged at Belfast Magistrate Court on a Saturday morning, and I was remanded into custody at Crumlin Road Prison. And you will know, if you've ever watched Porridge, not that I watch it, I'm giving you an example, that's what prison was like, the old school. It wasn't a pleasant experience for a young man. I think I was 22 years of age at that time, cut off from the outside world, separated from my friends and the things that I loved to do. Didn't know what the future held, if there was any at all. And I lay on top of a prison bed in a prison cell in tears. I remember picking up little gospel tracts to my right hand side and reading them, putting them up, picking them down, reading them. And you know, within 15 minutes of being put in that cell, my prison cell door opened, and there was a prison officer along with a Presbyterian minister called the Reverend Jackson Buick. He brought me down to a little room, and in my mind I was in turmoil and I was weeping. I can only tell you this tonight, folks. That man told me that God loved me and that Christ died for me, that there was hope in Christ. But at that point I couldn't see it. I went back to my prison cell. And I believe now, in hindsight, in the will of God, unknowing to me that the Holy Spirit was going to woo me and win me to Christ. I was discharged on high court bail in the middle of the week, a Wednesday. And I decided that evening, yes, I had a trial ahead of me. I met up with my barristers and so on and so forth. They made it clear to me in no uncertain terms that I would receive a custodial sentence between 10 and 15 years. All that was in front of me. But that particular night, I decided to go down to a local leisure centre to contemplate, if you like, or reflect on what might have been, what could have been, my conversation with the young lady on the Castlereagh Road, and this horrible future that confronted me of many years in prison. I walked up the stairs into a cafeteria area. I opened the door. As I walked through the door, right in the very centre of that cafeteria, who was sitting right in the middle of it with her friends, but the young lady that spoke to me on the Castlereagh Road, a young lady that I'd known for many years, a born-again believer, who told me that she was praying for me. And I somehow plucked up my courage to go over and sit down in much shame, and my head and my hands, I had my hands across like this at the table, and she said, "Andy, what's wrong?" I said, "Rachel, I'm sorry." She says, "What's happened?" I said, "Do you remember you told me you were praying for me? I would come to know Christ as my Savior?" She says, "Yes." I says, "I'm out in bail tonight on a firearms charge." Folks, I get up and I literally run into the leisure centre. But what does David say? "Where shall I flee from thy presence?" I wasn't aware of this. I gambled, I said, in my shame, the peace out again that weekend. Lost every penny, my home, and took it out in my family, as I always did. Firstly, took the doors off the hinges. That's the way I was, the way I lived my life. My mother used to say, "Don't come in here and take it out on us." I was lying on top of my bed at the top of the house when there was a knock at the door. I believe God sent this man to my door. I'd never seen him in my life before. He had heard about my predicament. He was a driving instructor. Members of my family were learning to drive. He was a believer, and he thought he would come and invite me to church while I was out in high court bail. I didn't give it much thought, in the sense that maybe I was doing God a favor by going to church. It'll do me no harm. I says, "What church would that be?" Again, I didn't see the significance until Christ saved me. He says, "Whitewell Metropolitan Tabernacle." At this time, the church was on the Whitewell Road. I went along on a Sunday night. I had a suit that I hadn't wore for a long time in the wardrobe. I put it on and went to that meeting. And the folks, I'll never forget it. All I can say is this. I walked into a meeting where people, as we know in Christian terms, were rejoicing and praising God. And here was a big fella walked in, face like a lurking spade, waiting on a trail further down the line. Didn't know what end of his me up, didn't know what day it was, didn't know what the future held. And you know, you'd have thought someone told the pastor about me, even the very message. He preached in Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 to 13. You know the story well. Matthew, the tax collector, Christ was passing by and he called him from the receipt of custom. He went back to Matthew's house to celebrate his conversion. The self-righteous scribes and Pharisees criticized Christ. How come this man eats with publicans and sinners? Christ rebuked him. He said, it's not them that are holy that need a doctor, but them that are sick. Go and ye learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but the sinner to repentance. And friends, that night, friend, I got it in one. I was the one who wasn't righteous, but I was in the midst of a righteous people. I was the one who was sick with sin from the corner of my head to the sole of my feet. I can remember the pastor actually addressing the terminology that he used even. He says, friends, tonight, if you're in this meeting, he mentioned the paramilitaries, you see, and he said, if you're driving a luxury car, living in a flashy home, living off the backs of the people, he says, I want to tell you tonight you'll go to hell with your old money. But friends, when he quoted that text of scripture, it's not them that are holy that need a doctor, but them that are sick. The Holy Spirit of God convicted me of my sin. The glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shined into my heart and made me wise unto God, so great salvation. And I want to tell you tonight, on the 9th of September 1985, I bowed the knee in repentance towards God and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Savior. That's the night that heaven came down and glory filled my soul. My sins were washed away. My night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. That's the night that my hardened heart was touched. His pardoning voice I heard and joy and peace come in while listening to the precious word of the living God. That was the night that the Holy Spirit took out that heart of stone, gave me a heart of flesh. He put his own spirit within me and he caused me to walk in his ways. The night that I passed from death unto life by the blood of the cross. The night that I was born again of the Spirit of God. The night that God changed my conversation, my conduct, my companions, my characters, my family and my friends. I discovered as a born again believer, friends, my friends, I did not leave my friends. My friends left me. Hallelujah. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have gone, and all things have become new. You see, the things that I once loved, I now hated. And the things that I hated, I now loved. And I often think of the hymn writer, more of Jesus would I know, more of his grace the others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. Fill me, O Lord, with thy desire for all who know not thee, and touch my lips with holy fire to speak of Calvary. And you know, I wanted to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. I wanted to know more about this one who died for me on the cross of Calvary. I was saved on a Sunday night. I remember going to my aunt's house where my mother was visiting. And my mother was the first person I confessed the Lord Jesus Christ to. And you know, the first thing she said to me was this. She said, son, I hope you keep it. Friends, tonight I'm not standing here because I can keep it. I'm standing here today because I'm kept by the power of God through faith and trust in Christ tonight. Paul says, I know who I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I remember going home that night to my own house, which would have been routine on a Sunday night. My brother would have had the telegraph for Monday mornings, for Monday's racing. He didn't know where I'd been. I walked into the bedroom, and the first thing he says to me, what do you fancy tomorrow? I says, I don't fancy anything. I could save tonight. I'm born again of the Spirit of God. He said to me, there's something wrong with your head. It wasn't my head, folks. It was my heart. God changed it. And you know, not only did God change my heart, one of the most remarkable things that God done for Andy Copeland, He changed that tongue. For I had a tongue like a sewer pipe. A tongue like a sewer pipe. But thank God he took me from the fearful pit and from the miry clay, put my feet upon a rock and established my way. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and put their trust in Christ. And friends, I realized I had a trial to confront me. And in June 1985, I stood before Lord Justice Gibson at Belfast Crown Court. I was handcuffed to a prison officer. I was a born-again believer. I had to face justice. I didn't have a problem with that at all. And I remember him saying to me, "Would the defendant please stand?" And I was told by my barrister weeks previous that I would get anything between 10 and 15 years. But God was gracious and merciful via that judge. I was sentenced to 5 years imprisonment. And you know, I can say tonight to the glory of God, even though I was handcuffed to a prison officer, the Bible says in John 8:36, "Him who the Son sets free is free indeed." I remember being taken down underneath a tunnel across the Cumberland Road into the heart of Cumberland Road Prison. I can remember going into a prison cell in a place called the basement. I was going to be there for, I think it was 24 hours. There was other prisoners who were being sentenced after me, and then we would have had to wait, I think it was for a full day, before we were transported from Cumberland Road Prison to the Mays Prison to commence our sentence. Those were the days when there was separation between Loyalist prisoners and Republican prisoners. I'll get to that point in a wee second. But you know, the thing that thrilled my soul when I went into that prison cell, first prisoner in from the court, the precious word of God was in the corner. And I tell you tonight, and God knows my heart, I'm not here to sensationalize, I'm here to speak from my heart and to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. I opened the word of God at random. I remember I'm being prepared to go to the Mays prison to serve 2.5 years of a 5-year sentence. And what does Jeremiah say? He says this, 15 and 16, "I found thy words and I did eat them, and thy word was the rejoicing of my heart." And you know, friends, I turned to Joshua. Just open the page like that. Joshua chapter 1. What does it say? "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And in verse 9 it says this, "Have I not commanded thee to be strong and of a good courage? Do not be dismayed or be afraid, for the Lord thy God shall be with thee, wheresoever thou goest." I don't need to tell you what it says about Joseph in Genesis. It simply says this, the Lord was with him. This was a promise to me from the Lord for 2.5 years while I would go and serve Christ in the Mays prison. I remember a young man coming in after me who had been sentenced after me. And I thank God, I want to just say, intermittent period between being out in bail and going to prison, I thank God I went to a church that preached the gospel, sang all the wonderful choruses of yesteryear, all the old traditional hymns. I make no apologies tonight, I'm a traditionalist. And that put me in good stead for to go to the Mays prison. And I remember singing in that prison cell, even when that man came in. And I got up off my bed to confess Christ. I told him my name. I told him I was a born-again believer. I told him I got 5 years for possession of firearms. He told me his name. He got 16 years for attempted murder. And I simply told him that God loved him, that Christ died for him. I remember getting off the bed before we put the lights out, and I says, "Do you mind if I have a word of prayer?" And I prayed for that man. I'll tell you why I prayed for him. The Bible says so, for a start. But I was very conscious that he was going to go to a paramilitary wing in the Mays prison. And I was going to a wing for, now you will laugh, ODCs, ordinary decent criminals. There's no such a thing. But that's what I was called. It is funny in hindsight. But you know something, friends? The great apostle Paul said this, written from a prison cell, Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, "I will have you to know, brethren, that the thing which has happened unto me was for the furtherance of the gospel." You see, the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God can't keep you. And I can say to the glory of God tonight, I'm not ashamed of him who loved me and gave himself for me at the place called Calvary. And I sang every hymn and every course that I knew in that 6-7 months before my trial, on the way in a prison van to the Mays prison. This guy thought I was off my head, the guy that I prayed for. And I just want to tell you very briefly about prison, very briefly, because I'm very conscious of the clock tonight. I remember singing that night, a clear as day, midnight. See, this is a wonderful thing. You see, I can't change my circumstances. And I can't, I can't thank God for my circumstances. But you know something? I can praise him in my circumstances. That's what Paul did. That's the difference between the believer and an unbeliever. I remember one writer saying this: a Christian is a bird that can sing both in the winter as well as the summer. Amen to that. And I remember singing a little chorus, born again, there's really been a change in me. Born again, just like Jesus said. Born again, all because of Calvary. I'm so glad that I've been born again. And here's what I heard, this echo at midnight. It was funny in hindsight. Hey, Tonto, one of your mates. So I knew there was born again believers on the wing. I got up the next morning, they call it slopping out, and not go into detail, you don't need to know. And I met probably 8 born again believers on that wing. We would have met around the Word of God on a Wednesday night for a Bible study. We broke bread on a Sunday morning, and we were around the Scriptures again on a Sunday night. We even had the great joy and privilege of baptizing a young man in the bath in the Mays prison. But you know, folks, what happens when one gets out? For many years in this country, people have said, oh, he's using Jesus Christ as a crutch, and so on and so forth. And I remember walking into Wallowfield Police Station on the Woodstock Road, which was literally round the corner from where I lived, because I tortured the police. And I wanted to go and speak to a particular inspector to apologize for the rack and ruin and mayhem that I caused down the years. I'll never forget what he said to me. He shook my head, held my hand, and he said to me, Andy, I believe you're genuine, but you're going to have to prove an awful lot of people wrong. Friends, tonight, I don't have to prove anybody wrong. I would trust and pray tonight, like the New Testament, that people took heed and acknowledged that he has been with Jesus. Once to learn an ignorant man. I'm not going to categorize myself tonight, not at all. Do you know why? I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to die, he took my place. There's nothing in my hand I bring, but simply to his cross I cling. You see, friends, tonight, how true it is. Sin is like a credit card. Enjoy now and pay later. Now, when I say to you at the very commencement of the Holy Scriptures tonight, that sin can bring sorrow and shame and suffering and separation from Almighty God. See, at that time, folk, all those years ago, Andy Copeland's name was in the newsletter, the Belfast Telegraph, the BBC Radio Ulster News, and the television news. But I thank God tonight my name's no longer in the Telegraph or the Belfast newsletter. My name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I want to tell you tonight, from that place of birth, where there was joy and ecstasy, I brought sorrow. You see, you fast forward the video, folks. The people who once were elated and joyful were now sad because they got a knock at the door. Your son's been arrested for possession of firearms. My mother broke her heart, and I broke my mother's heart. So that family went from joy the sorrow and the shame and the suffering. You see, you're not just suffering yourself. You're bringing that suffering to your parents and your family circle. You see, it has a ripple effect. And that's what sin does, folks. And you know, I believe tonight, standing in this pulpit, there's men in our province as we speak. I believe with all my heart tonight, there's men in this province who want Christ. But the devil's told them a lie and told them, because of what they've done, they can never be saved. And that's a contradiction to the scriptures. So I want to leave one with you tonight. And Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. And I want to quote a lovely hymn tonight. The fellest defender who truly believes that moan from Jesus a pardon will receive. An invitation to you tonight, sir or madam, in this meeting. I don't care how far you have fallen. I'm not here to categorize you tonight. The Bible says all of sin have come short of the glory of God. But I want to tell you this tonight. There's an invitation. And Isaiah 1 and 18, and it says this: Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Friend, tonight there's no sin that Christ did not die for. There's no sin that Christ cannot forgive tonight. Maybe you're worried tonight what you have to give up. Friend, tonight, all you have to give up, what I did, give up your sin. Let me tell you what God gave up tonight. He gave up a son. So the Bible says he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Shall he not also with him freely give us all things? I thank God tonight as I finish that great text of scripture in Psalm 40. He brought me up. You see, I was dead in my trespasses and sin. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. He brought me up. I was dead. And he brought me out from my sin. The Bible says his name shall be called Jesus. He shall save his people from their sin. So he brought me up and he brought me out and he brought me into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Brought me into Christ. And I thank God tonight. And so will you folks tonight who know Christ. There's a day coming. And he's going to bring us home to be with himself, which is far better. Thank you for listening. Let us finish in prayer. Our Father, tonight we give thee thanks for your saving grace in our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that it's not just saving grace. It is sustaining grace. It is sufficient grace. It is grace that's exceedingly rich. And we thank you tonight, Lord, if required, you tell us in thy word that he giveth more grace. We pray tonight, Father, should there be one in the meeting tonight who needs that enabling grace, that besetting grace tonight, we pray you'll grant it, Father. And we ask thee tonight, Father, that you'll draw many, not just in this church tonight, but across our province where the gospel is faithfully proclaimed. We pray tonight you'll draw many from darkness into light and from the power of Satan unto God. Again, we return unto thee our grateful thanks, Lord, for that love that will not let us go, that joy that's unspeakable and full of glory, that peace that passes knowledge and understanding. We give unto thee again, rightfully, Father, tonight, the glory that is due to your name for Christ's sake. Father, accept of our thanks tonight again for the great things you've done for us all. We're offer glad. Separate us now in thy fear and with thy favour. Grant us travelling mercies to your various homes until you come or call. May we not be found wanting, but be found waiting, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. We ask thee thanksgiving of thanks in his precious name. Amen. Amen.